Reading this morning is Exodus 14, 13 through 15. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here today on this beautiful Sabbath day, day that God has asked us to come in and be with him and rest on his rest day. I pray that the whole Lord has been good to you this week. The Holy Spirit has been with you, guiding, directing your thoughts and your words, and that each time that you're able to praise God, that it has happened, you know, today that way. What a God we serve. Gracious God, sin, righteousness, and this doesn't have anything to do with what I'm going to talk about today, though, but sin, righteousness. I look at it lopsided. Take this sin and give it to Jesus, and he takes his righteousness and puts it on us. What God gives to us, what the Lord and Savior gives to us, his righteousness. And all we have to do is give him our sin. You know, what a God we serve, you know. And it's a free gift. You know, it's there. We have to be willing. We have to accept it. We take our sins and give them to Christ, and then he covers us with his righteousness. What a God we serve. I just pray this morning that we do give our sins to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I want to thank the church for allowing me to be up here the Sabbath that I am. I think in the early beginnings, I chose things to talk about without consulting God. But in this last several years, I believe that I have the confidence that the Holy Spirit has led me in everything that I've set up here. And I believe it has been the truth. And it's what I believe. And I know that Christ is coming soon. And he wants every one of us that is here. Everyone that will accept him. And I just pray that each of us will meet each other on a sea of glass one day. Let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that we have come into your presence on this holy Sabbath day. It comes upon us every 7 days, Father. And we thank thee that we can lay aside our cares and our wants. We know that they are still there, but yet you cover them and you take care of them on this day. We don't have to worry about them. We thank thee so much. We thank thee for Jesus, for the plan of redemption, that his shed blood covers our sins, and that one day we will be able to stand before thee as we had never sinned. What an opportunity each of us has. In Jesus' precious name, amen. With the scripture reading today, you can see that. So let's turn to Exodus 14. And just imagine the scene that we have described there. We've probably read it time and time again. But have we really thought about it? You know, tremendous challenge for the Israelites to escaping from Israel. They face the Red Sea. They have the Pharaoh's army behind them. You know, do we believe it? Do you believe what happened here in Exodus 14? Sounds a little bit far-fetched, doesn't it? What God does then, in the period of time that he does it. You know, could it have happened that way? Do we believe it? Do we believe the word the way that has been given to us? You know, all the Israelites saw that dust coming. You know, there were no boats there to ferry the people across. See, because that was their only escape. You know, no arsenal to distribute to the armies because they didn't have any arms. They didn't have an army. You know, And not even Moses had to tell the people that they were in dire straits. You know, they all could see it. And sometimes I can see, maybe see why the Israelites had a problem there, and they were fearful in the beginning, everything, because here they had been 400 years down there in Egypt. And oppression kept coming and coming on them. It got worse and worse. They weren't able to worship their Lord and Savior the way they wanted to. And over the years, it diminished. But then the last 40 or such years, God talking to Moses, getting Moses ready to bring the people out of Egypt. You know, so they had reason to disbelieve, I believe, because they had lost sight of their God. But yet the things that he did miraculously for them then, do we believe it? Crossing the Red Sea the way that the Bible says it had happened. What happened after they crossed it, you know, the sea. But Israel started complaining right away. And it was a common experience for them throughout the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And it even continued on into the promised land, though, because we know that that's part of what happened to them and why they were lost as God's children. And we can read their words there in Exodus 14. And we start with the last part of verse 10 through 12. We see what they were worrying about there, you know. Exodus 14, verse 10 through 12. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt this with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is it not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than they should die in the wilderness. They didn't know what was going to happen. You know? They were reluctant to do what Moses told them to do. Because they were looking for Moses for leadership. You know, God appointed Moses to be their leader. And in verses 13 and 14, we hear and see Moses' response. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Here he tells them, he's not going to see them. Moses is telling them that. Not going to see the Egyptians no more. How's that going to happen? You know? And the Lord said, fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. You know? And he does. Here it is, you know. Told them to stand still and stand there and do nothing and let God take care of the problem. How many of us do that today? And as we look at that, we know that God wanted the Israelites to do a lot more than just stand still there and watch. You know, and it's the same with us today. We know that we have to do something instead of just waiting for him. And in verse 15, we see what God wanted the people to do. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That's it. To go forward. Here they, Moses is telling them to stand still and watch. God is going to tell them to go forward. Where are they going to go? They got the sea on one side. They got mountains on another side. They got deserts on the other side. And they got the Egyptian army behind them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like any place to go. You know? And when that pillar of cloud come down and was between the Egyptians and the Israelites, the Egyptians even thought that the Israelites weren't going any place. We can get them tomorrow. So they camped and waited. You know. But we see that there was darkness on the side of the Egyptians, but light on the other side for Israel, for the Hebrew people. You know. And even if they had the boats to get across the sea, you know, they couldn't have done it in time, you know. We read in extra biblical material the amount of people that were there. And it's, some say it's up to 2 million people. Now, whether that's, you know, just what it was, but we do really know that it was probably over 1 million people that came out of Egypt. All of them weren't Jews. That was part of the problem that they had through the 40 years of experiences with that group that were not Jews, that were constantly complaining. But they had a difficult situation. Many times today in our lives, we have difficult situations. And how do we get out of them? And as we read there in chapter 14, Pharaoh has sent 6,000 chariots and their officers, three-man chariots. That's 1,800 people just there in those chariots. And then there was drivers for the rest of the chariots. Now, how many of that, it doesn't say. But then the horsemen, described in verse 19. You know, no wonder they were terrified. They had reason to be with all of them there, you know. And today, as God's children, we're terrified of the obstacles that are before us and behind us. But we know that there's only one way out from them. And there's a spiritual principle here. Moses told the people to stand still and watch and let God take care of things. But then God countered. It was brought out in a Sabbath school up here that when God says something, it's for a reason. Get the people moving forward. And we are told that same thing today, is to go forward. We know that our life as Christians are not static or passive. It's supposed to be dynamic and active. We're supposed to be dynamic persons. We're supposed to be active for the Lord. And it doesn't change when an obstacle is placed in our way. This principle doesn't change when the road gets a little rough, a little bumpy. It doesn't change when there's a sea in front of us and we have no boat. It doesn't change when the enemy attacks us and our situation seems impossible. And many times it does. But if we rely upon the Lord, we know that there's going to be a way out that makes that impossible become possible. God required the Egyptians to keep moving forward, and God requires us to keep moving forward. No matter what obstacles are put before us, no matter what Satan throws at us and the world throws at us, to move forward. But how do we do it? We probably all have an answer, and each answer is different. But number one, we must have confidence in God. We see that in Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Where Moses tells the people to stand still and not be afraid. Seemingly impossible situation. Seemingly impossible situations in our lives here today. But we have to maintain our confidence in God. Sometimes we can have confidence in ourselves. We can have confidence in other people. But we truly have to have that confidence in God to make it through the day. We can look at three aspects of this principle. Our confidence in God must be freely extended. We know that our confidence in God is personal, but it must be freely given. There's no force applied. God doesn't apply any force. It can't be coerced. You know, you can't make people trust you. You probably can get them to say that they trust you. But actually trusting you is another story. You say that you have trust and confidence in God. And God is the only one that knows whether that is true or not. 1 Timothy 4:10, Paul tells Timothy that their trust in God has prepared them for the work and for their suffering. Our laboring and our suffering for Christ does not force us to trust him, or at least it shouldn't. It should be just the opposite. We learn to freely trust God. We know that it takes us a while to get into that position where we are freely trusting God, you know, but it will happen. Our confidence in God must be firmly expressed. Trust and obedience is a loosely applied principle. And if we deviate from it, we're not trusting. And that can happen. We can deviate from it. We allow things to weaken our trust, especially in God. We know that it's easy to attend church, give testimonies about trusting God with all of our minds. But it becomes more difficult to trust, maybe when you're diagnosed with a terminal illness, you have a prodigal in your family, or you lose all your material possessions. Your trust seems to go away. But if we look in John 16:33, we see the words that Jesus said there. If you turn to John 16:33. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And that's a confidence that we can have this morning, that Christ has overcome the world. He has given us the victory if we are willing to take it. Paul proclaimed that victory in 1 Corinthians 15:57. Then our confidence in God must be fully experienced. As each of us experienced that confidence in God in our lives. And when we fully rely upon God, we're proving God. God tells us to prove him. Have you ever done that? He says, prove me. Have you done that? I have. And God has always come through. Always. We look at the lives of others. We see the efforts that they're trying don't work. It even makes the situation more difficult. And it can make the different situation difficult in our lives also too. Our anxieties and our restlessness that we have, you know, God is trying to work for us. God is trying to work with us. He wants to use us. That seems hard, doesn't it, sometimes maybe? That God wants to use each one of us to proclaim his message. That Jesus is coming again. That it's going to be very soon. And are we all ready for that? You know. And if you remember the scripture meditation from Paul in Exodus 3:20 telling that, you know. In Exodus, Moses tells the people to fear not. And I'm telling you this morning also that, to fear not. Situations happen, and it's not always easy. Stand still and see. We know that it was good advice then, and it's good advice today. Moses wanted the people to have confidence in God's abilities. And we know that through their experience through the 40 years, it wavered many times. We need to have the same confidence today, no matter what. We know that we can freely, firmly, and fully have confidence in God's work in us. Even when impossible situations come up in our daily lives, we can have confidence in God. What a relief that gives to me, to be able to have confidence in our God. We must practice obedience to God. Exodus 14:15. where the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore thou crawlest unto me, speak the children of Israel, that they go forward." Where were they going to go? The only place they had to go was into the sea. Now, I'm not exactly afraid of water, but I don't know how to swim. If I get in a swimming pool, I don't go in usually over my waist. So I know seeing a wall of water, you know, and you're going to go walk into that water, you know, no place to go. But when God makes his will known, there's only one option, and that's obedience. And that obedience follows confidence, to have confidence in God. And it should be unwavering, as we read there in verse 15, to tell the people to go forward. So they should go forward. But yet here are these people that just come up out of Egypt. You know, Moses has told them that God wanted to them, but yet their religion had been suppressed for 400 years. And yet they were to take that step forward. And it's the same with us today, to take that step forward. Israelites to walk right into the sea. And we read there what happened, what transpired there. You know, if we have confidence in God, our unwavering obedience should be natural. We should have no problem with it, but we know that we do. As we read in Hebrews 10:22, the author tells us that he had that in mind. Hebrews 10:22. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, Jesus also says it in James 1:6. James 1:6. Well, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And in their experience there, the Israelites are able to see what this wind can do with the control of God. Our obedience should be guided by authority. Exodus 14:21, where God tells Moses what to do. The rod of Moses was an important item for him. It was a symbol of divine authority. It was the power and discipline. The rod pointed the way that the people were to go, the way they were to follow. What's our pointer today? What's your pointer today that you follow? I pray that it is the Word of God, because it had as the direction that the way I would go. This book right here tells us the way that we were to go each day. To follow the Lord and Savior wherever he's going to lead us. But often people say that God tells us that he wants us to do this or he wants us to do that. And we base our emotions on, or base our decisions on emotion, but not on God's holy word. Sometimes, you know, I know better than God the way I want to go. I know better than God what I want to do. But yet if I allow God, if I have the confidence in him and obey him, I know that he's going to lead us into the right way to go. You know, it needs to be guided by the authority for the Christian life, and that's God's word. Our obedience should lead to separation. 14 verses 27 through 29. Separation that was going to happen there. Israelites moving forward caused separation. Separated from Pharaoh's army, and they were being separated from their own life. their old life. They were seeing the mighty hand of God at work. It was happening right there in their midst. And if we have our eyes open today, we can see the mighty hand of God working in our midst. They had to move forward. What did they have? They had to face Pharaoh's army. They would have ended up back in Egypt. And probably many of them would have died from the oppression that they would have because they did leave. But if we take and follow and obey God, we know that that separation will be with the power of God. The Israelites found themselves in a real place. This was real to them. It was a plan ordained by God that they would end up there. But the people had to make a decisive move. I wonder if the people of God has reached that place. Has the people of God taken that place? And have they reached that decisive move to go forward? I pray that we have. I pray with the evangelistic series that we have coming up, the prison ministries that come here in Elmira, that the three churches combined together can go forward in this community and give that gospel message and bring many to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we're going to have rejection, but yet we know that if God is working on our behalf, there are going to be souls out there that are going to be saved. Now, he said the Hebrews either had to return to Egypt or they had to move forward to see the power of God working. I wonder if God is going to show us what happened one day. Will we see how he performed this miracle? We know the world that's got many ideas of how it happened. Scientists can tell you how it happened, might have happened. But until God shows us, we won't really know the true way that it happened. But we know that we can have the confidence that it did happen because God said it did. God has told us that it happened that way. There's places that God is taking each one of us. It's the place that he chooses. If we take that step, if we go forward, we're always going to be able to experience the working of God in our lives as he leads us forward. He has a purpose for each one of us. And if we go forward, he's going to show us that purpose. But we have to be willing. We have to have confidence. Just like Abraham's experience, we see in Genesis 12:1, where God told Abraham to get out of his country, to leave his family, and go to a place that he didn't know. And Abraham was able to have the confidence to do it without question. And what was the experience for God, for Israel there at that time? It was threefold. There was the experience of wonders that we see in Exodus 15:11. Exodus 15:11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? The word wonders in the word Hebrew is peel, and it means the extraordinary, a miracle, or something marvelous. And what God was doing there was marvelous, was extraordinary. You know, he was doing marvelous things for the Israelites. And they were personally experiencing them. And we can too. We can experience the wonders that God is going to do for each of us, individually and as a church. Then there's the experience of worship. Exodus 15:1. Verse 1 says, they sang this song unto the Lord. And this was the experience of worship. In our worship, there needs to be a time when we can praise God for what he has done for us. And I believe that we have that each Sabbath. And then there was the experience of witness, verses 14 and 15 in chapter 15. What the Lord had done for the Hebrews would be told abroad. And this was part of what the nation of Israel was supposed to do. Through the years, to tell the world, tell the nations around them what God was doing for them. And they in turn would want to be a part of it, would want to see what the Israelites had, and it would draw them into the nation of Israel. But we know that they failed. And we have that responsibility today to bring individuals into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can worship him also. The word of God should be shouted from sea to sea. We need to tell what God is doing in our lives. Is he working in your life? Is he working in my life? We should tell the people what is happening. In Mark 5:19, tells the denominator there, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The Lord has done great things for us, and he has compassion on us. Our experience with God has a purpose. When a situation seems impossible, we must have confidence in God. We need to practice obedience to God, and we understand that God has a purpose in all the experiences that we have with him. He has an reason. He wants us to experience that with him. We don't have to do it by ourselves. And I just pray this morning that each of us does, has that experience, that confidence in God that we need to have and to be able to feel it in each of our lives daily. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the experience that we may have with thee and with thy Son, Jesus, our Savior and our Redeemer. He has shed his blood for each one of us. He wants none to perish. Thank you that we may have confidence in thee. We pray that we are obedient to thee, that we are obedient to thy commandment, and that we are obedient to thy word to go forward, for you have promised that you will be with us. So we pray that as we go from this place, that the Holy Spirit is the one that guides and directs us, and that we follow that pathway to the eternal kingdom, where one day we will stand before thee as we had never sinned. In Jesus' precious name, amen.